Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Recording. Here we go. Barclay Pierce, Capital's Wealth Management's Managing Director, James Whelan here. Okay, Google Studio on. Watch this. Welcome to television, my friend. And you are listening to the Theory of Thing podcast. My name, as I said, is James Whelan, head of the wealth management team here at BCP. Joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Oh, very well, thanks, mate. A bit of a quieter week this week in terms of markets and personally, so yeah, it should be a nice quick one today.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do. We always say, every time we say it's going to be a nice quick one, next thing you know, it's half an hour and we're arguing about who got a better football tip. Hang on, I'm just going to turn some lights on. That'll do. Switch that off. Can you hear me over there?
Yep.
Anyway, you're joining us. I can't switch that off, but I don't know where the switch is for the damn thing. You're joining us here on the 15th of March, 2024. It is 2 days before St. Patrick's Day, which is why I'm wearing the green. Anyone who's listening to us, I'm wearing a green thing. This is the flag of the license that I used to sit on back when I was sponsored by Emirates Wealth. It is a Bulgarian second division football team, and I think they did quite well. I've also got my fake glasses on as well, which I wear just to get the screen glare off so that I can actually see what I'm doing here. Brought to you by BlackRock, who will be one of the preferred suppliers of a thing that I'm currently building. Heath, tell us what's going on.
What's not going on?
What?
No, really? I mean, it was a quieter week this week. In terms of macro news and that, everyone's waiting on the Fed next week. See what the Powell and Co. say. And you got the BOJ as well, which is quite important next week. Will they raise rates or not? At this stage, it's probably not looking to raise rates next week. And they'll likely just maybe make a comment on when they're going to start pausing the yield curve program, maybe some QE. But yeah, if you want to stop adjusting the light and push the buttons.
Get
the screen up. Get the screen up.
You want to talk? Do you want to talk a bit about your personal life, or you just want to get straight into the?
I just get straight into it. I got nothing.
Take me out for dinner and a show first, sweetheart. Come on. Okay. Right. Here we go. Okay.
You can see the SPX there. Really has done nothing this week. Has sort of treading water there. The
it's
XJO
got a holding pattern sort of feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, the XJO has got a worrisome sort of technical break of the uptrend there.
When did that happen? Today's.
Yeah, that's today.
That's a big red. That's a big ugly red candle. Okay,
it is, and. A few metals came off last night. Iron ore was weaker again. We're just selling off on the back of, you know, what's happened over in the US. We had CPI and PPI during the week that have come in hotter than expected. And it's all about this last mile, trying to get, you know, down from, you know, those low threes into low twos for the Fed. It's always the hardest and probably you see the most stickiest side of inflation when they're trying to do that. I don't think it's a big concern. I still think the Fed knows this, and I think the Fed will still cut three times this year, as they have stated basically in their forecasts. But I think the dot plots next week. I think the dot plots are next week, being March. It should be quarterly dot plots. That would be interesting.
The 19th to 20th of March is their meeting, I think, or at least that's what was in our morning report this morning. Subscribe to the Barclay Pierce Capital Morning Report to find out when the dot plots are on every month.
So the market is going to take huge notice of that. I noticed Scuddy mentioned this morning on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it that if they remain the same as last time around, then the markets will take that as a bullish sign and move back up. I'm not so sure. I think the market will want to see some dovishness from Powell and Co. Push back. I think they can push back considering yields have gone higher again. Where are we? I'll bring the 10-year up. 10-year up. You can see that spike this week on the 10-year, and that's on the back of the hotter than expected CPI and PPI numbers. You got to remember, though, with some of those CPI and PPI numbers, we've seen energy outperform there, and that's on the back of refining problems that the US are having. They're having some capacity issues over there, so gas prices over in the US have ticked up again, and you know, that's not the sort of thing that the Fed really can control or should really worry about. You've got some services inflation still in there as well, which is sticky, and wages and earnings are still quite sticky. They're the things that the Fed will be more worried about. But then, of course, you've got the, I think it's next week as well, the PCE inflation index coming out, which is the one that the Fed really takes notice of. And most forecasts at this stage are saying for it to be roughly in line with last month, around up 0.3 or so. So that will be of great importance. We saw the US dollar. Oh, it's not showing on this chart yet because it's delayed, but it ticked up to over 103 last night on the back of that PPI number. Still within that range, still trending down. If the US are going to cut and cut before the EU and whatnot, then I dare say this is the Dixie. So 50% of the weighting is to the euro, and then another 10% to the yen and UK.
It's like 60%. Okay.
Yeah. It's quite high. So you take this with a pinch of salt when you're talking about the Australian dollar. But that will continue to trend lower, I think, throughout the year as well.
Yep.
We saw US gold retail sales come in softer than expected this week. They're up 0.6% versus the 0.8 expected, but a rebound from the negative 1.1%. last week. You're in this situation with the US economy where it really is a sort of Goldilocks scenario where it's not too hot, not too cold, it's just right. So you're going to get a lot of mixed messages, which makes it extremely difficult to navigate on a macro level. And I said it in my note, I said, you got to commend the Fed and the way they've handled things with the inflation and that at this stage, because it seems like they have threaded the needle. They have got a lot of help in terms of the economy from Biden and co. with running such large fiscal deficits. That's going to keep the economy afloat and out of recession. But it also makes their job harder because it also helps fuel inflation. So, but at this stage, they're doing a pretty good job. So we'll quickly move on to oil, and then we'll touch copper because copper's got a little bit of a talking point.
Yeah, let's do oil, copper, and then just do my best, most amazing short call of the week, which has just gone incredibly well. Yeah, but go on.
I know this one, yeah.
Yeah.
So oil, we've seen pop over the last couple of days. That's on the back of the IEA basically saying we have moved from a oil supply glut to a deficit of around 110,000 barrels for the year, and they expect it to remain so for the rest of the year. So that's got everyone excited on the oil front. OPEC is not expected to change course. They're expected to maintain their cuts for the rest of the year. It's great for oil, and I actually don't mind oil-based stocks and equities at this stage. And I think you have to differentiate between oil and gas, because gas is a totally different story. Gas is in abundance. We've got a big oversupply of gas. We've seen the warm winters over the last couple of years really see gas stockpiles remain quite elevated. And there's quite a bit of new supply coming on in the second half of this decade. So if you can avoid gas and get pure exposure to oil, I think that's the better play here. So I'm avoiding.
What are your best picks? What are your best picks?
It's hard in Australia place? Because it's mainly gas, because you've got Woodside and Santos, which are predominantly LNG plays, and I'm trying to avoid that. Although Woodside's mix is a little bit better since they took on BHP's oil assets, but the rest of it is really small cap stuff. So I've got to run the ruler over it a little bit more. I'm not prepared to put something out there at the moment, but I will come back with something in the next few weeks. But it will be
Brookside is oil and gas.
You're talking micro cap there, and Brookside, yes, and they've got a very healthy balance sheet. And the only problem there is they're a shale, so they'll need quite continuous high capital injection, but cash flows will support that. But go for it.
No, you keep on going, mate. That's all right. It's this. Anyway, go on.
You do. We'll do keep have talking. It's like talking to your grandmother. Risk. You do have some downside risk with all
this, though,
because shut up. because the Saudis have cut so much, they've got about 3 million barrels of cuts in the bank. And at the moment, they're losing market share to countries outside of OPEC and Russia. Now, Saudis do have a history of just saying, stuff it, we are going to dump our oil on the market and gain our market share back, because they hate losing market share. They did this in the 80s. They did this in 2014. And they did this in 2020 when the start of the pandemic went on. They decided to go full bore, went full bore production to gain their market share back. Now, there's nothing indicating that they will do that again. But if the oil price got too high and it starts incentivizing too much of the higher margin or higher cost producers to come back online outside of OPEC and Saudi Arabia, then I can see a scenario where they go, stuff it, we're dumping our oil on market again to gain our market share back. And that presents a real risk, because we could see oil really tumble sharply then if that was the case. And I don't think they would let it go any higher than $100 a barrel or $9,500 a barrel, because that starts incentivizing the US producers to really start pumping those wells down pumping out.
And it's not like it was before, because it's not like it was before when they really had trouble over the last couple of years going, we can't actually find people to supply the shale things. I'm speaking out of my arsenal, of course, from this on, but it sounds like, I mean, the old labor issues of before probably aren't going to be as much of a thing right now. However, I'm purely speculating on that, just going that just the way that things heal and change, that it's much easier for shale to switch back on now than it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you do have the regulatory side of things. Biden and Co are, you know, against and fighting against the shale companies and restricting leases and taking them back, et cetera. But, you know, there's enough oil in those fields that are untapped at the moment that they can just pump out a heap of new drill rigs and get going. Yeah, those drill rig numbers... Yeah, Trump would love that if he gets in power.
Trump is winning the next election anyway, okay? We've already called it for him. It's done. It's in the bag.
I'm not so sure.
It's done. I can't stand the guy, but it's done as far as I'm concerned.
Drill rig numbers are down significantly in the US from their highs. I think they're down below 500. They were up around 800. So there are quite a few rigs sitting around doing nothing at the moment. So it would be easy for them to start pumping again if oil prices got high enough. So let's move on to copper. Let's finally get
yes, copper. I'll tell you what, you blink and you miss it. Did I say copper last week? You said copper last week. I know that both of us said long copper last week.
Yeah, consensus on copper. Yeah.
Oh my God, look at that. Isn't that just insane? Beautiful. That's a chart. That is a chart that has just springboarded up. A sensational day yesterday on the news of... now you go. I'm not going to take your thunder. It's your thing.
Well, basically, Chinese copper smelters are hurting at the moment because copper smelting prices have crashed. They were quite high at the end of last
year. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month. Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Last year. And they have crashed simply because there is an oversupply of smelting capacity and an undersupply of actual copper concentrate. They can't source it. So they came together this week and said, look, we're going to cut our smelting production as a group. And that obviously sent copper prices a lot higher. There is 1.7 million tons of copper smelting capacity coming online outside of China this year. So that dominance that China once had with the smelting side of things is dwindled quite a bit. And obviously there is an inverse correlation between smelting fees and costs versus the copper price, because if smelting fees have come down, it incentivizes you to smelt more because it's cheaper to do so. Margins are higher. So copper price reacts accordingly because there's more demand. So that's basically the long and short of it. And we've seen it react accordingly. Of course, we still need the Chinese economy to turn around and start going in the right direction again, especially the property sector, for this to be sustained. But it's looking good. It's looking a hell of a lot better than what copper was, you know, in September, October last year, around $3.50 a pound. It's now back over $4 a pound and looking a hell of a lot better. So the rhetoric is changing there and looking better.
The rhetoric is changing.
Yeah, rhetoric.
What did you say? Frederick.
I don't know. Frederick. Yeah.
Okay. Can you put up a chart? Can you put up a chart of Kate Middleton search requests, please? Because if we can find her, that'll be it. My note featured two things. In copper, our pick, Barclay Pierce Capital's wealth management team has their all-star pick in the copper space. General advice only is ALM, Alma. The most leveraged play to the copper price in our view. And happy to bang the drum on that one. We're really pretty confident on that one. We're actually just now closing. We just closed that thing for critical metals, CMG.
Beautiful. Well done.
Yeah, I know that comes. It's weird. Anyway, that's a banging stock as well.
They have a bit of copper. It's vanadium as well.
It's vanadium. Yeah, vanadium with some copper in there too.
Yep.
So we've got a few clients that are now long that stock and pretty happy to be so as well. Now, while we're here, and then I'll get on to sort of, you know, the week that was, the week that is, the week that will be. Boeing, mate. You got to show this Boeing chart. If anyone wants to do a lesson in technical analysis, I'll show you what three black crows look like. Zoom in on that. So point to that big red one there where you're right next to your cursor. That's the first crow. Second crow,
yep.
Third crow, and that's it. You don't buy a stock that does that. Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Yeah, you don't need a degree in technical analysis to know don't buy a stock that's got those three massive red candles on it, because something is obviously very, very sick with Boeing. My note on Monday, for those who subscribed to my note on Monday, I was just like, it's got to be the best short in the market right now with these things falling out of the sky. Well, not falling out of the sky, but definitely the troubles that they have. Not having the documentation when the FAA has launched a criminal investigation into Boeing, and they asked the Boeing guys to supply the documentation for the door fix of the Alaska Airlines 787 door that flew off its hinges. And Boeing was unable to find Wino Hablo El Paper, por favor, whatever it is that's there. And they couldn't find the damn thing. So and it's just more and more sort of things that are going on. Like that night, the night of that note that dropped, it was sort of at the same time that the LATAM aircraft had some serious issues, just went completely blank screen, dove, injuring about 50 people. And the worst part is that they had to land back in Auckland as well. I can't imagine a worse fate than that, than being injured and having to go back to New Zealand. I feel my heart goes out to all of those people. Kidding, of course, on your Robbo. And you know, it's the stock just gets sicker and sicker. However, here's the other side, and my note did say this. You can play it both ways on this one. Yes, it's a short right now. If you want to play that game or go long the puts or short the calls, whatever it is you want to do on that one, go nuts. Butterfly, backspread, inverse correlation, whatever it is you want to have there, a calendar side. Okay. But when Trump gets in, Trump is big on this whole defense thing, and he is actually just casually saying at every chance that he can that NATO countries need to be spending more on defense, i.e. buying more U.S. defense stuff. Now, whether that means U.S. defense stuff or not doesn't really matter. Keep in mind that Sweden have just joined NATO.
Yes, they did.
Sweden makes some pretty hot jets and some other pretty cool stuff as well. More of an inclination for them to be flying Saabs, which is the surviving side of that entire disaster. We used to have a Saab. Anyway, but it's So you play that. You play that down. Boeing will get to a stage where eventually you just have to buy it back on there. I'd say probably election night when you see the numbers coming in for Trump. Boeing first thing you should get into and just go. I suppose by then it's just going to be insanely cheap. I hate buying airliners, but airline manufacturer, because you've got to think like 30-40% of what Boeing makes is actually in defense and space. So
yes,
I mean, just it's just that sort of thing. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but if you just wanted that easy sort of way, it's been working so far. I'm happy to keep on going there because I think that Boeing, nothing really good happens at Boeing for now. With anything else that's going on, they've got some real problems. Al Jazeera went through their factory of the Dreamliner in, I want to say Carolina and North Carolina. I think it was NorCal. And they had a hidden camera. It was back in 2014. And they were asking, and this has all started to reemerge now. A lot of people have been posting this video as if it was just fresh. It's not. It's from 2014. Hidden camera going around asking the guys on the factory floor if they would fly in this plane that they are building. And every single one of them said, no, not a chance. There was drug use. They were hiring people with minimal skills. There's no drug testing, I think it was as well. And it's sort of, I've seen a lot of people sort of say, well, it's a hallmark, a sort of a great representation of where sort of the culture of work has gone now, especially in America, with just the use of marijuana as a sort of this casual accepted sort of thing that people are just, now it's accepted. It's slowing everyone down, but hey, you still have to be beholden to that same level of quality that you always did have before. There's something that a lot of people have sort of gotten confused with this one. Marijuana is legal. You still can't drive a car. And that's sort of where people are missing that on that sort of thing. It's just like, you still have to be able to work like a normal person. It still just has to be a casual recreational thing that you do separately, not smoking a blunt, walking into work in the morning and think it's all going to be okay. But that is just the workplace in America at the moment, unfortunately.
The Boeing story is quite sad because they used to be a very high-quality, well-respected company. And I think that there's a book out about this, but I can't remember the name of it. But it was about 10, 12 years ago where, margins were starting to get squeezed because obviously costs were going up and, competition, et cetera. So they brought, I can't remember who they brought in. Someone joined the board. I can't remember his name, but he's notorious for this sort of stuff. And he went through and gutted, their cost structure, and they didn't start cutting corners, but they started looking for cheaper alternatives. And they're starting to come home to roost now in some of the quality of their airlines that they built back then are starting to, they're suffering for it now. And it's quite a sad story because, like I said, they used to be, the poster child of the US manufacturing sector and, the high quality products that they used to make. But obviously that is not the case anymore, Just want to fly an Airbus now, don't you?
Mate, I realized just how many Boeings I flew going to and from Las Vegas, and I'm thinking, I've got to go back to Connecticut in a couple of months, or I've got to go to London in July for a conference that we're doing, which I'm going to make a big announcement about next week. That's in July, and I'm the biggest risk taker there is. I've got zero problem with risk, and I'd really rather just choose an Airbus at the moment. That's sort of you can actually select not to have a 737. Not that they do the international side, but I'm thinking maybe I don't really need that hassle in my life right now. I choose my own destiny. Right, footy tips, and then we'll get the heck out of here so we can all get back to our lives. I got one. I'm going to go first. First off, we both got it right last week. We make bank. You come here to this scene, right? I'm here to chew bubblegum and make people money, and I'm all out of bubblegum. Right, this week I'm just going to keep it simple. So, yeah, my little multi last week was fantastic. This week, keep it simple, stupid. And this is the thing. The good thing about my job is that you get some great insight into some beautiful football minds. I won't mention who they are, but they are some of the most notable people in the game. And I was having a few drinks with one or two of them yesterday, and general consensus is that potentially the Penrith Panthers aren't all that chop. Parramatta Eels are a real good chance about them this weekend. And you know what? They're giving them 7.5 point start. So that's well and truly more than a converted try. I'm going to take the points. Parramatta, plus 7.5. Go for your life. Bet with your head, not over it. Gamble responsibly. Your next bet could be your last. It's think of, I don't know, whatever it is. Okay, what have you got?
Didn't the Panthers make the grand final or win it last year?
Last couple of years.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, thanks for keeping up, Heath. It's good of you to pay attention to what goes on.
I'm an NRL novice here, mate. So, it goes in one ear, out the other.
Good on you.
If you hear this before the Pies game, Pies Sydney game at the G tonight, I like the Pies at the line there. That's 10.5, paying $1.90. But if you hear this a little bit later, an easy one, I think, is Port Adelaide at the line at home to West Coast this week. The line's 48.5. Port Adelaide are notorious downhill skiers. They like to thump the bottom dwelling team, so I think they'll win by 10 plus goals. So,
Port Adelaide Port, at the line. Classic Port.
At home. Yes. So, put that one. Put the one in your basket.
Okay, mate, that's good. Look, I think that we're about all done for what's going on. I've got a mining conference next week, so I'll be out there Monday, Tuesday talking to the mining news select conference that's down at the Masonic Center for Monday, Tuesday. If there's any companies anyone wants me to go and talk to that are at that, I'm happy to do so. Otherwise, we're sort of back and forth. It's part of the job. That's what I've got to do. And it's very enjoyable to do so. Really go out there and meet some new companies and see what's going on. That's pretty much going to be my life. Launching something really cool as well next week. I just want to be absolutely certain that it's all done. I've been working my ass off on this one, so that'll be all right. Basically, had to put a whole thing together from the flight out of Vegas. It was a tumultuous flight, having to actually work all the way through as opposed to getting the much needed sleep that I did. But mate, this job is more important than my sleep. So yeah, managed to get that done. You're gonna be pretty impressed with what it is that I managed to build here. So
look forward to it.
Mate, that's it. You got anything else?
Right, no worries. No, I'm done.
We're good.
Good to have footy back.
Stay safe out there, everyone. If you need anything or know anything, send us a note. I'm James Whelan, Managing Director of Barclay Pearce Capital's Wealth Management Team, joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. You are listening and have been listening to the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. We'll catch you next week. Stay safe.
Have a good one, everyone.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.